Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. What Donald Trump did in the White House when he met with South Africa's President Ramaphosa, the Black Jew, is unquestionably the greatest and best thing that ever happened for whites in Southern Africa. Nothing like this has happened before. Nobody ever stood up on our behalf. Nobody ever stood up to blacks on our behalf. So today I want to take a closer look at this, and I also want to show you a bit of white teamwork and the things that were done correctly. And I'll also show you the black reaction to all of this in South Africa. And then you'll see that there is no chance that whites and blacks can talk things out. So there are a bunch of things to look at. And I'm going to use a lot of short videos so that you can see for yourself what happened here. And there was some good white teamwork that took place here. And this is a victory for whites in Southern Africa, but especially for Afrikaners. I regard the events that took place here as the beginning of the end of the blacks. I mentioned in my video last year about the election in South Africa that black politics is going to hell in a handbasket. But this thing could be the nail in the coffin for black politics in South Africa, in the sense that from here onwards, whites will unquestionably be able to claw their way forward step by step as the years go by. I regard it as game over for the blacks. Whites will be able to move forward more and more as a result of this. And it doesn't matter if Donald Trump were to drop dead tomorrow, or if Donald Trump never again does anything for whites in South Africa, or even if the United States government doesn't do anything for whites in South Africa. What has taken place is so huge, the consequences are so massive, and Donald Trump did it so well, that this thing is the thing that pretty much has saved our lives, and it doesn't matter what happens. We're on the way up, and the Afrikaners in particular broke through. So we'll start with a short video from Victor Davis Hanson. Hanson is an academic who's entered journalism and politics more and more. I've even read one of Hanson's books. Hanson, like many American academics, cannot mention the word race and denies the existence of the word race. However, he does manage to summarize shortly South African history and these blacks. It's not completely accurate, but it's 80 to 90% accurate. I also should mention in this video that you'll hear lots and lots of stuff mentioned at various times by various people, whether it's the stupid president we have or whether it's others. They mention good things about Nelson Mandela. All of that is a lie. That is total hogwash. So whenever you hear stories of Nelson Mandela taught us this, and Nelson Mandela taught us to sit at the table and talk things out, all bollocks. All of it's bollocks. Just total hogwash. But anyway, here's Victor Davis Hanson, and it'll give you a bit of a feel for the American government's viewpoint of South Africa. He gives you a little bit of history, which is pretty accurate. There are a few things that I differ on where I think he's wrong, but this will just give you a little bit of a feel for the background to this thing.
Mm-hmm. we've had another quote-unquote ambush in the White House. That was not an ambush. Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, wanted that meeting with Donald Trump. He requested it. Why did he want to meet Trump? He wanted to meet Trump because he had a free trade agreement with the United States with no tariffs. And he was running a $9 billion surplus. And in addition to that, he was getting $500 million in foreign aid from the United States. His ambassador had just been expelled by Marco Rubio because he made a video and said Donald Trump was a white supremacist and then said that he was part of a white victimhood movement. This is the ambassador. This is not the South Africa with such promise 30 years ago. This is not Nelson Mandela. This is a racialist state, and it's one of the most anti-Western and anti-American. Hello, this is Victor Davis Hanson for the Daily Signal. We've had another quote-unquote ambush in the White House. Ambush, remember, means an unexpected attack on someone from a secretive place. That was not an ambush. Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president of South Africa, wanted that meeting with Donald Trump. He requested it. And when he came in, he was prepared to refute Donald Trump. In fact, if you look at the media before the meeting, they didn't use the word ambush. They were giddy. They thought, wow, he's going to give Trump a bill of goods. What he didn't think was that Trump was ready for the bill of goods and had his own bill of goods. But here's the real backstory to the whole thing. Why did he want to meet Trump? He wanted to meet Trump because he had a free trade agreement with the United States with no tariffs placed on South African agriculture, everything, metals, everything. And he was running a $9 billion surplus. And in addition to that, he was getting $500 million in foreign aid from the United States. And in addition to that, his ambassador had just been fired or expelled by Marco Rubio. Why? Because in a performance art fashion, he made a video and said Donald Trump was a white supremacist. This is the ambassador. Just before this visit, not too long earlier, and then said that he was part of a white victimhood movement. So they kicked him out. Was he embarrassed? No, he had a hero's welcome when he went back. And then we have the larger context of South Africa. It usually votes against the United Nations, at the United Nations against the United States. It signed on to the International Criminal Court's farce that was going to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu as a war criminal. We had the video that was shown about the leader of the third largest party in South Africa saying that they wanted to kill the Boer, kill the farmer to a big crowd. And by the way, the year before he said that, 2022, something called the South African Equity Court declared that kill the Boer, kill the farmer is not hate speech. I don't know what hate speech is in South Africa if it's not kill a designated minority. And so when you look at all of this, Donald Trump got sick of it. And he said, this country, we don't have any problem with it. We don't hate South Africa, but they're not our friends. This is not Nelson Mandela. This is not the age of conciliation. This is not the South Africa with such promise 30 years ago. This is a racialist state. It's one of the most violent countries in the world. And it's one of the most anti-Western and anti-American. And so when Mr. Ramaphosa came to set Donald Trump straight, Donald Trump said, you know what? I don't think you like us, so I'm not going to give you $500 million in foreign aid. You know what? I don't think you like us because you think I'm a white supremacist, so we're not going to give you free trade into our markets. We're going to charge 30% tariff. You know what? You know, your ambassador, all you guys come over here, you don't like us. You think that the left-wing foundations, the left-wing media, the left-wing universities are running the country. The left-wing, they're not. They're not. So when you come over here and attack us and call us racist, maybe you shouldn't come over here. You know, just have a little peace. Maybe you're all your foreign students, your green card holders, your visitor visa. Maybe we should just have a little cooling off period. And so what Donald Trump was saying is that this is not the South Africa that we used to know, but it was running on the fumes of Mandelaism at the United States. It's hostile to the United States. At the United Nations, it's hostile to the United States. It takes advantage of the trade agreement to run up a $9 billion surplus. It gets $500 million in aid, and it shows no gratitude. It attacks us. It attacks us. And then when we try to say that you have a law that is going to appropriate land without compensation, you deny that you're doing it. That was the whole purpose of it. No compensation. You can say, well, it was for public domain, but everybody knows that. So everybody who confiscates land does it for the public, but they compensate people except you. And finally, you know, you want internet. You want internet like Ukraine has. You want internet like remote places in Asia and Africa have. And you want, therefore, Starlink. And you think that Elon Musk is a native son, so you're going to invite him in and have a Starlink. But you can't even do that. You say, you can come in. We'll give you the privilege to come into our market, as if Elon Musk needs that. But we're going to take a third of your country, company, and your franchise here in South Africa, and it has to be staff partnered with people who are of a particular color, black people. And Elon Musk says, I think I'll pass on that nice invitation. And then they get very angry. And now they'll probably bend. Final word, I think Mr. Ramaphosa will be, I don't think Donald Trump will visit South Africa, but I guarantee you Mr. Ramaphosa will want another meeting like Mr. Zelensky did, and he will come in and he will say, please take away the 30% tariff, please give us the $500 million handout in foreign aid, please let all the South Africans, not just the 48 people, and who, by the way, whom we called cowards because they didn't want to play the lottery whether they were going to get killed or not. But let all of us come back in, please, please, please. And we promised that we will not allow people to pack stadiums, say, kill the bar, kill the farmer, and say that's not hate speech. This is Victor Davis Hanson for the Daily Signal.
So clearly South Africa gets huge benefits from America, $500 million in straight cash, plus access to American markets with no tariffs. We got a free trade agreement. And the real issues have started since the Ukraine war. The blacks have been pro-Russian, but now, of course, with the blacks also going against Israel, so now this is starting to irritate the USA. But otherwise, Hanson gives you an idea of the kinds of things that go on in South Africa. That if Elon Musk tries to bring Starlink to South Africa, that the blacks will take one third of his company. That's what's known as BEE, Black Economic Empowerment. It's basically just a scam for politically connected blacks to get chunks of other people's companies. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. It just happens in South Africa. It's just one of many things that these blacks do as they parasite off whites inside South Africa and also people who invest in South Africa. That thing that he mentioned about the Equality Court, this is true. This kill the Boer, kill the farmer thing. In the time of white rule, you never heard that stuff. If you did hear it, it would have been on a much smaller scale and it never appeared on TV. So even if they did chant it back then, you didn't hear it much. My understanding is that this stuff was really created in the 1990s, actually, when the whites were already handing over power to the blacks. So the notion of kill the Boer, kill the farmer, that it's been around for like 50 years and so forth, that's not true. It's a much more recent invention. But in South Africa, we've got a thing called the Equality Court. All of these are the kinds of junk that was created in South Africa when whites and blacks negotiated. The Equality Court was yet another piece of shit that was formed as a result of that. The goal of the Equality Court is really to grab whites who say things about blacks and to punish them. And the Jews also use the Equality Court as well. So basically, any time a white person says something about someone else, then they can get dragged into the equality court. So it is true that this kill the Boer, kill the farmer bullshit ended up in the equality court. And that this is yet another example that when another race is in charge of the courts don't work according to European logic anymore. And this is a perfect example. So now the blacks came and they said, oh no, it's part of their culture. It's been around for a long time and it doesn't mean any harm, blah, 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 blah. And the court actually then said, yes, this is not hate speech. So now officially in South Africa, they can run around singing, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. And it's not hate speech. And it really is legal to do. And as you can see, Donald Trump and Victor Davis Hanson, and you'll see more people, more whites, who give their opinion of this. Any white with half a brain looks at this and says, this is fucking hate speech. This is incitement to kill people. Yeah, it is. It is. But in South African law, it's not. But whites no longer control the courts. This would never have flown if whites were in charge of the courts. This is what happens when somebody else rules you. So the next very short piece of Trump, where Trump is talking there in the White House, what I like about Trump is he's mentioning that he's hearing about lots of bad things, not just in South Africa, but in Africa as a whole. So here it is.
Tremendous complaints about Africa, about other countries too, from people. They say there's a lot of bad things going on in Africa, and that's what we're going to be discussing today. When you say we don't take others, all you have to do is take a look at the southern border. We let 21 million people come through our border, totally unchecked, totally unvetted. They came from all over the world. In many cases, they're criminals. They come from prisons. They come from mental institutions. They come from street gangs.
Now let's watch how the white game, how Team White gets the game going. It starts out with this section where Trump is actually talking to two Afrikaans golfers, Ernie Els and Goosen, or as you Americans would say, Goosen. And if you look carefully, you'll see that there was a lot more going on. This stuff did not happen by accident. That in actual fact, these golfers asked to be there. And when I look at many of those whites who are there as part of the South African delegation, none of them are in government. There's another big guy that we're not going to look at today, but he's a tall guy. He's also there. And that is Rupert, the richest Afrikaner in South Africa. He also gets to talk a bit, but he's not as good as the golfers. And the fact that these guys worked so hard to get here for this thing, let me tell you, this was no accident. Everything that's gone on here, the white South Africans, perhaps along with Elon Musk and Trump, all of this stuff was prepared. There was work that went into this that Ramaphosa and the blacks did not know about. And Ramaphosa thought some of these guys are on his side, and then they start talking from their angle. So this guy who's going to talk, he talks about America as an ally, basically to save South Africa. He's basically saying that the United States is the only hope for saving South Africa now. But of course, the United States played a big role in pushing us into dealing with these blacks in the first place. So now it's time for Afrikaners to basically call in a favor, because it's 35 years later and it's a rotten mess. And in this little piece of film footage, you'll also see some of the official processes that go on when one head of state meets another head of state. The European way of handling diplomacy, And even with these stupid buffoons, you've got to allow them to go and write their name in a book, in the visitor's book, to show that they came there, etc. So it's all very nicely done. But this buffoon is set up. There's only one white guy, and you're not going to see him in the videos that I've pulled out for today. There's only one white guy who is in government, and his name is Steenhuisen, I think. He's the Minister of Agriculture, and that fool later defended Ramaphosa, but that's because he's a weak, liberal, white politician. But we're not going to concern ourselves with that for now. So watch this part, which shows you that there is more going on, and maybe for once, Donald Trump's love of golf and these Afrikaans guys who are professional golfers, that they've been working together, and this is the beginning of Team White's moves on the blacks.
That's great.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Why don't we come into the Oval Office, okay?
The future of the people relationship.
It's fantastic. It's got to be resolved. It should be resolved. It's a little bit bad when you see a stadium with 100,000 people in it, because that means it's more than just a little movement. It's a pretty big movement in South Africa. So it has to be resolved. It'll be the end of the country.
But is there potential for the relationship moving forward?
I hope so. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for my health. I'm here to see my friends. No, I'd like to see. I have friends. I can tell you, Ernie Els and Retief Goosen, they feel so strongly they wanted to be here on behalf of South Africa, of not on behalf of me.
Of course, yes.
And, you know, they said, can we be here for this? Because they love the country. Ernie, do you guys want to say a couple of words? I hate to put you in.
Yeah.
This is tougher than sinking a three-footer.
It's in the three-footers.
They have, and they've sank many three-footers.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thanks for the honor of being here. We've known each other a long time. We have spoken. You know, we're proud South Africans. I still have my South African passport. You know, we travel with this passport, you know, and I got my visa here. So, you know, but we want to see things get better in our own country. And that's the bottom line. It's been 35 years since the transition. President Ramaphosa was right in the middle of the transition time, 1990, and before that. So it's been 35 years of ANC government, and I know there's a lot of anger, you know, through the transition. There's also a lot of stuff happening in the apartheid days. You know, we grew up in the apartheid era, but I don't think two wrongs makes a right. You know, President Mandela, when he came out of prison for all that time, didn't come out with hatred, you know, and really unified our nation through sport. We won the Rugby World Cup in 95.
Four times.
We won the African Nations Cup, soccer. You know, we won some majors as golfers and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, this has been a long time coming. That's why we really wanted to meet you in the administration and see our way forward, because we still want to see our country flourish. You know, we've got some great things going on. Business is getting involved with government. Farmers are getting involved in local municipalities, trying to rebuild some of the infrastructure that's been decaying for a long time. So there's a lot of coexistence going on and help from a lot of areas. But I feel we need the U.S. Push this thing through. We've got a great ally we can have in the U.S. It's always been an ally of South Africa for a very long time. Even in the days of the war, you know, up in Angola, you know, you guys helped us. So very important for us to to have your support and you know, get the change we need.
Where did you do that?
Now for the crux of the issue, where Trump corners him and where Trump cuts through the bullshit. But what I want you to also take note of is take note of what Ramaphosa says. Ramaphosa lies to Trump's face. He lies to his face and he says that he and his government are opposed to what Malema is saying. He says it openly. They are opposed to it, and yet they do nothing. Trump corners him because Trump says to him, if someone in parliament gets up and says, kill, 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 why don't you being the president of South Africa, why don't you arrest him? Because anyone who says that anywhere, in any country, any Western country, I assume, will be arrested very quickly, very quickly. So Trump makes it really clear that this is something that is not tolerated anywhere at all. No government anywhere would tolerate this kind of thing. And yet there is Ramaphosa. Oh no, we oppose it. As you will see later, you'll see he's lying. And Trump also points out, this is not a small stadium. It takes at least 100,000 people. He's correct about that. And this cannot be a small party. Also correct. Because at that time, Malema's political party was the third biggest in South Africa. The white guy on the right who speaks a bit, that is Steenhuisen. He's the Minister of Agriculture, but he's rather a weakling. He's a liberal. He's a weak Afrikaans liberal, actually, an idiot. And as for the mention by Ramaphosa of the Freedom Charter from 1955, that's yet another example where a Jew worked with the blacks and the Jew basically drew up the document. The Freedom Charter, that's what it's called. A Jew played a big role in drawing that thing up. And so that is what Ramaphosa tries to throw at Trump. And Trump isn't buying that bullshit. And the guy who mentions the rabble, that is Steenhuisen, a liberal weakling who's in the Jewish political party, the DA. But Ramaphosa is lying through his teeth when he says, we oppose hate speech. He's lying through his teeth. They've never lifted a finger. They've never made one effort. They've never said a word. Not him, not anyone in government, not anyone in politics. They all leave Malema to say what he wants to say. And Zuma says exactly the same stuff. Nobody opposes it. That's what the blacks really want. These blacks are communists. The blacks want to kill the whites. That was the original plan. That was the game. So when Zuma talks about it and when Malema talks in the same way, that's what they want. And Ramaphosa is in the same political party. That's what they've always said all along. The blacks know it, but the top guys in government pretend they don't hear it. They've never lifted a finger. And Trump corners him to say, why haven't you arrested that guy? Because anyone anywhere else in the world would do that. Now, this is where Trump is really at his finest. And where Trump shows strength, and let's call it Team White, starts showing some strength. When Trump says that if there was a real media, which we don't have, even in the USA, they would be writing about this. So Trump is starting to smack the mass media. And you'll hear Trump pointing to one of the journalists and saying, they won't write about it because they're all like that idiot. It's awesome. It's fantastic. That's exactly how you need to speak. The real genius of Donald Trump comes through in this skit that you're going to see, because Trump says that the purpose of exposing it is that it basically unleashes a cleansing action. He knows that by exposing it and talking about it in public, He knows that that is going to change the dynamic completely. Now, he refers to it as a cleansing action, but in reality, what it is it's focusing the whole world on us. Something that's always been lied about, always been hidden, always been dismissed by these bastards at the top, as well as the disgusting, filthy Jew mass media. By having Trump speak about this in the White House in front of everyone, Trump is kicking off something huge that billions of people who've never even heard of this before will now start looking at this. And all of the small independent media and influencers will be focusing on this and watching this from now onwards. People will even be coming to South Africa. By doing this, by opening this can of worms, Trump has saved us. Now, the government can't lie about it anymore. And every word that comes out of their mouths will be watched. They will be monitored. All these bastards can no longer hide what they are doing. They've been able to hide it for decades. Now, that's no longer possible. Now, there are all kinds of independent people who are going to form an opinion by themselves, and they are going to be catching these bastards out. This is the greatest thing Trump has done, and it doesn't matter. Even if Trump were to drop dead tomorrow, even if Trump never again does anything for us, this thing that he's done here is the greatest thing he could possibly have done. This completely changes the dynamic. And Trump says, when it gets exposed, it will get fixed. He knows. He's been playing a game for several years now, ever since he got into politics. He's been playing the game of bringing things out. He was the guy who said things like the fake media. He's been destroying a lot of these big media corporations just through his constant exposing of the truth. And now he's done it for the whites of South Africa. This changes the total dynamic. So here's an excellent 3-minute video.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers. And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's kill the white farmers.
Grow our economy and shut the door forever on that rabble getting through the doors of the union bodies, because then South Africa's future would be...
So you denounced that type of language in the video that you saw?
Oh, yes. We've always done so. As government, as my own party, we are completely opposed to that. We, in 1955, adopted a document which said South Africa belongs to all who live in it.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers. And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's... kill the white farmers. I think, I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying kill a certain group of people, he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa, and that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people, and I hardly saw an empty seat. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of representation. And those crosses, we have dead white people, dead white farmers, mostly. And you take a look at Australia, they're being inundated, and we're being inundated with people that want to get out. And their farm is valueless, it's valueless, and they just want to get out with their life. And this is a very serious situation. And if we had a real news or a real press or media, we don't have that, because they won't talk about this, because they're all guys like that idiot. But if we had a real press, it would be exposed. And you know, the beauty of exposing it is it's like a cleansing action. When it gets exposed, it'll get fixed. That's when it'll get fixed. But people don't talk about it. And I'll tell you who's talking about the thousands of people that are fleeing South Africa right now.
Yeah, well,
spending a lot of money. And I've talked to other nations. We want them to chip in and spend money too. And we've spent a lot, and it's a tremendous problem going on in many countries. A lot of problems going on. The United States always gets the request for money. Nobody else helps, as you know. Europe doesn't help. Europe hasn't given anything. All they do is sue our companies. You know, they sue Apple, and they sue all of our companies. Apple had to pay $17 billion on a nonsense lawsuit. Very unfair. But we're going to always be there to help.
The next video is a 4-minute video. It's a piece that I've sliced out of another American's video. And you'll see that Team White was completely organized, because now the other golfer starts talking. And he starts saying, oh, well, farm murders. Yeah, that's something that's happened to my family. People in my family were killed. And our farms are being burned down, and we are struggling because all our stuff is getting stolen, etc. And there it is, right out of his mouth. And I'm leaving the American's analyses in. Because this was on YouTube, this guy had to remove the word kill. So when everybody talks about killing, then you don't hear the word kill, because this guy was working in accordance with YouTube's rules. But the American who was looking at this was saying, oh man, everything backfired totally on this Ramaphosa. And you'll get to see that piece again where Ramaphosa says, no, his party has always been opposed to this. Total bullshit. And you'll see how he changes his tune once he's out of the White House. All total hogwash. Here it is.
I grew up in an area in South Africa that is a farmland area, Polokwane.
Yeah.
And there is some issues up there, obviously. My dad was a property developer as well as a part-time farmer. And yeah, some of his buddy farmers got killed. The farm is still going. My brothers run it. But it's a constant battle with farms trying to burn the farms down to chase you away. So it is a concern to try and make a living as a farmer. And at the end, without farmers, there's no food on the plate. So we need the farmers to produce the food.
Farming, right? Yeah. He wouldn't even want to do what you're doing. Right? They love farming. They don't want to leave. But it's a struggle.
Yeah, and you know, food and fresh water is the most important thing in life. You know, without those two things, you can't survive.
How is the water there?
The water is great. Obviously, all the water comes out of the borehole, out of ground for us. Down there. Yeah, it is a battle to get the water out sometimes when all the equipment gets stolen all the time that you're trying to get the water out.
So does your family and your brother, do they feel safe on the farm?
They live behind electric fences, you know, try and be at night safe. But it is constant whenever you leave that something could happen. And
there's nowhere to live.
You know, both of them has been attacked in their houses. My mom's been attacked in her house when she was 80. So it is difficult.
This guy goes from, well, nothing to see here, to, actually, my dad's farmer friend was murdered, and farms are being burned down to the ground pretty much constantly. Basically an admission that, yeah, it really is happening. But then Team Trump interjects, and oh boy, that's when it got real bad for the South African envoy. Take a look at this.
Turn the lights down. And just put this on, it's right behind you.
Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not? We are going to occupy land. Yes. South African, occupy land. That's who we are. Never be scared to kill. A revolution demands that at some point there must be killing. Because the killing is part of a revolutionary act. Your master, who are the farmer? The poor,
go after a white man they feel a terrible pain because you have touched a white man.
Confronted with the facts, look at their faces. You got people literally singing songs calling for violence against white farmers. Then you got public officials calling for violence. And you could tell at that moment they were caught. The jig was up. And let's just say Trump didn't stop applying the pressure.
So you denounced that type of language in the video that you saw?
Oh, yes. We've always done so. As government, as my own party, we are completely opposed to that. We, in 1955, adopted a document which said South Africa belongs to all who live in it.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, the white farmers, the white farmers, and then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's the white farmers. I think, I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying a certain group of people, he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa, and that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people.
I don't know. It seems pretty clear-cut to me. And I'm just loving how the Trump administration is cutting straight through all the BS. This is what this president does. He doesn't play the games, folks. I mean, the way he's handling these weasels, it's just on another level.
It is interesting how whites can argue from the liberal point of view. And you've seen that with Victor Davis Hanson earlier on. You're about to see it with someone else who did something good. For once, I will sing praises to Elon Musk. In this 2-minute video, you'll actually see Elon Musk being questioned about Starlink coming to South Africa. So even though Elon Musk is a South African, he doesn't have Starlink in South Africa because of the rules that the blacks have here. And they apply this to all companies. And Elon Musk here points out that there are 140 laws. He says it's 140 laws. So Elon Musk says that all races should be treated equally. This is the liberal argument now being used for whites. And he pushes hard on this issue that there are 140 laws in South Africa that target whites. And he's doing this on yet another huge public forum where everybody gets to see the reality of South Africa. What is good about this is Elon Musk is pushing the point. He's hammering the point home. In the same way that Donald Trump is also hammering the point home. For once you see a little bit of strength coming out of whites, and whites actually standing up for something. This is excellent. So here it is.
And what about the international dimension? Now, let's think about Starlink. Starlink is obviously a very, very good internet service. It's sought after all over the world. It's critical to the front line in Ukraine. It has also had more contracts coming its way, and there is some evidence that companies are allowing access to it because they want to be close to the Trump administration and send the right signal. So Bloomberg broke news today that the South African government is working around the rules on black ownership in order to allow Starlink in, and that is being done on the eve of the visit that President Ramaphosa is going to make to the White House. Do you recognize that as a conflict of interest?
No, of course not. First of all, you should be questioning why are there racist laws in South Africa? That's the first problem. That's what you should be attacking. It's improper for there to be racist laws in South Africa. The whole idea with what Nelson Mandela, who was a great man, proposed was that all races should be on an equal footing in South Africa. That's the right thing to do, not to replace one set of racist laws with another set of racist laws, which is utterly wrong and improper. So that's the deal, that all races should be treated equally, and there should be no preference given to one or the other. Whereas there are now 140 laws in South Africa that give give strong preference to if you're a black South African, and not otherwise. And so now I'm in this absurd situation where I was born in South Africa but cannot get a license to operate in Starlink because I'm not black.
Well, it looks
Does
like
that
that's about
right
look,
to
it looks
Does
like that
right
looks like that's about Is to that, change.
I just ask you a question. Please answer. Does that seem right to you?
Well, those rules were designed to bring those rules were designed to bring about an era of more economic equality in South Africa. And it looks like the government has found a way around those rules for you.
Ask your question.
This is your interview. Everyone wants to hear from you.
Ask your question. Yes or no?
Not for me to answer. I have got a question for you about your government work, though, and the amount of savings.
Why do you like racist laws?
This is not for me to answer. Come on.
Yes, it is.
Now, you wouldn't be trying to dodge a question.
You have to ask the question. I answer my question. No, you answer mine.
I'm sure you can have that conversation directly with the South African government if you want to. I want to ask you about the total...
I can't believe it. That's not good.
But another star performer is Caroline Leavitt, Trump's press secretary at the White House. During all of the time that Biden was president, and of course, he was an illegal president, but during all the time of his presidency, I couldn't stand that he had that idiotic black woman as his press secretary. I stopped watching all White House press conferences. I never watched them right throughout Biden's entire presidency. I couldn't handle it to watch a black moron representing the United States. It was so disgusting, and Biden was a disgusting fool. So Caroline Leavitt really is the complete opposite. And furthermore, she functions like Trump, no doubt on orders from Trump, and she's fantastic. And here is where she gets cornered regarding this South African stuff, and Caroline Leavitt clobbers them back. Caroline Leavitt clobbers them back in an instant, and I absolutely love this. And then... she not only smacks them back with everything she's got, but she carries on in the way that Trump does, where Trump says, this guy's an idiot, and so on. She does exactly the same thing, and she tells them what a stupid line of questioning that is. And it's wonderful to see how that fat black woman was so confident of her story, but Caroline Leavitt sorts her out and hits her with everything she's got. And she does it so freaking well. And then she says, that's a ridiculous line of questioning. But she's firm, she knows her stuff, and she puts that black woman in her place in no time at all. I thought it is one of the best replies I've ever seen. Here it is.
The president showed a video that he said showed more than 1,000 burial sites of white South Africans that he said were murdered. We know that that was not true and that the video wasn't showing that. So I wonder, why did the president choose
What's
to show
not
that?
True, Yamiche?
It's not true that the video was showing a burial site. It is unsubstantiated that that's the case.
No, it is true that video showed the crosses that represent...
Burial site, which is what the president claimed.
The video showed images of crosses in South Africa about white farmers who have been killed and politically persecuted because of the color of their skin. And those crosses are representing their lives. Those crosses are representing their lives in the fact that they are now dead and their government did nothing about it. Are you disputing that there's no...
That the video showed what the president claimed it showed, because it did not show that. But even more, what I'm asking you is who at the White House...
No, it did show that. It showed white crosses representing people who have perished because of racial persecution.
Verify the videos that the president shows, and what protocols are in place when there's unsubstantiated information being put out for the world and world leaders?
Yamiche, what's unsubstantiated about the video? The video shows crosses that represent the dead bodies of people who were racially persecuted by their government. In fact, the Associated Press, of all places, has a picture of that very monument, and the caption from the Associated Press is, "Each cross marks a white farmer who has been killed in a farm murder." So it is substantiated, not just by that video and the physical evidence that everybody saw on display in the Oval Office, but also by another outlet in this room, the Associated Press. So you should take it up with them if you believe the claim is unsubstantiated. And that's a ridiculous line of questioning.
Now for another video about Team White. And this is from Europe. Unfortunately, I cannot get more information about this, so I can't give exact details. But my understanding is that this video was played in Europe at some kind of official session. I'm not sure whether it's in a government, but the original caption on this was that it's the EU. So whether this is being played at some EU meeting, that's possible. But whatever it is, it's in Europe. And when I listen to this guy speaking, he's speaking, I'm guessing, most likely Dutch. But if not Dutch, then it's Flemish, which is the language of the Belgians. The two are very close. If I had to hazard a guess, I'd say Dutch. So he plays Julius Malema's Shoot to Kill and Kill the Boer. So let me just tell you what he's saying, because I can understand it. He says that they are singing anti-white songs for years at South African political rallies, and that the Economic Freedom Fighters are a communist party, which is dead right, absolutely dead right, and it is led by Julius Malema. And he says that Malema is singing these songs right up to the current time. So that's as much as I could pick up from what this man says. But clearly, Julius Malema's video is getting attention in Europe at serious meetings. So this is fantastic. This is absolutely fantastic. And this is just one of the early examples of this stuff that has come out of what Donald Trump has done by throwing this thing out right into the open in front of the whole world. Donald Trump has kicked off something, and I am absolutely certain this is going to carry on and on as other people look at this, and serious people are looking at this, people who've got power. Good things are going to come from this. Excellent things are going to come from this. Trump's cleansing works. It's worked in America, and it's going to save our asses here in Africa. This is going to make life so much easier for us, given time. So here's the short video. And if anyone finds out anything more about this or about what is being said in Europe, I'm looking forward to it, because Europe is mega powerful, just like the United States. And these blacks in South Africa are just as dependent on Europe, if not more so even than on America, because we've got lots of European factories here in South Africa where if the Germans or Europeans pull out their money, lots of people are going to lose their jobs. Anyway, here's the short video.
Zo, collega's, shoot to kill, shoot the boer, de farmer, dit haatdragende en anti-blanke, anti-Afrikanerlied wordt al jaren gescandeerd op politieke bijeenkomsten van de Zuid-Afrikaanse communistische partij Economic Freedom Fighters onder leiding van Julius Malema. Er circuleren talloze videobeelden waarin hij zelf en zijn aanhang dit lied zingen. Tot op vandaag, ook gisteren nog, zong Malema de slogan, het lied opnieuw met de goedkeuring van een uitzinnige massa. Nu, zulke uitlatingen zijn geen onschuldige retoriek of symbolisch protest meer, maar passen in een breder klimaat van etnisch gerichte uitsluiting.
And the final Team White person for today is an Australian journalist. I didn't even know that this Australian journalist has been openly speaking about farm murders and the killing of whites for the last 9 years. He's been hammering away in Australia on this issue of the killing of whites in South Africa. His name is Rowan Dean, and here is a short video where he tells of how long he's been talking about this, and that people from South Africa even contacted him, told him their stories, and he could see their anguish and their pain. So here is yet another guy who's been fighting for us and we didn't even know it. Another white guy. So listen to Rowan Dean, a wonderful friend that we have in Australia and a truth teller.
Last week on the show, I spoke about the terrifying plight of South Africa's white farmers. I showed you the packed stadiums of South African political figures chanting, "Kill the Boer" and "Kill the Farmer," as others described how they wanted to kill white men, kill white women. I showed you the long avenue of crosses representing slain South African farmers, the majority of whom are white. And I described how, with only the rarest exceptions, much of the world's media refused to report on this appalling situation. But clearly, someone was paying attention. 2 days ago, in what is increasingly becoming the greatest show on earth, Donald Trump, obviously a fan of this show, used the Oval Office to not only give a national leader a deserved dressing down, but to put the story of the plight of South African farmers in spectacular fashion, front and center to the entire world.
Turn the lights down and just put this on. It's right behind you, Johan.
There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one. We don't care. We can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not? We are going to occupy land. South Africa, occupy land. That's who we are.
Yes, it was the greatest surprise slideshow in the history of the White House. The lights went down, the screen lit up, and the audience of South African dignitaries squirmed in their seats. What was on display was everything I, but sadly very few others, have been talking about for years. The vile, despicable Julian Malema, a black supremacist who for years has been stoking racial hatreds and no doubt racially motivated killings at mass rallies like this one, chanting, "Kill the Boer, kill the farmer, shoot to kill." South African President Cyril Ramaphosa squirmed in his seat while he tried to work out what the hell to say, while his delegation clearly wished the ground at their feet would swallow up.
The farmer,
oh dear, yes, indeed. Trump wasn't about to let them off the hook.
But why wouldn't you arrest that man? That man said, "Kill the white farmers, kill the white farmers." And then he danced, and he's dancing, and it's, "Kill the white farmers." I think, I'm not sure, but I think if somebody got up in Parliament and started saying, "Kill a certain group of people," he would be arrested very quickly. That man is going all over South Africa, and that's not a small party. That was a stadium that holds 100,000 people, and I hardly saw an empty seat.
Yes, if anyone knows the power of a political rally, it is Donald Trump. He even knows how to spot how big the crowd is and how many empty seats there are there. So this sort of BS on CNN would cut no slack with Trump.
What Julius Malema was singing, "Kill the Boer, kill the farmer," was an anti-apartheid song
from the struggle against white minority rule in South Africa. They've explained that this is not a literal attack, call to attack and kill the farmer because of the historical nature of that. But it's been weaponized by groups in South Africa and increasingly by the MAGA right in the United States to essentially misrepresent what is going on in the country.
Right. So just to be clear, when you have packed stadiums of tens of thousands of people chanting, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, it doesn't actually mean kill the Boer, kill the farmer. Got it. Okay. Here's a thought. Maybe CNN could get an acoustics expert from the New South Wales Police Force to explain to their viewers that Julian Malema and his mob were simply chanting, where's the Boer? Where's the farmer? But I digress. Trump wasn't finished yet. After showing that horrific aerial image I showed you last week from 2020 of white crosses down a long avenue honouring murdered South African farmers, Trump got down to the specifics, despite Ramaphosa's attempts to shut the conversation down.
We've never really gotten underway with that. And we are going to be doing
you're
so.
You're taking people's land away.
We have not.
From them. And those people, in many cases, are being executed.
And Trump was on a roll.
Death of people. Death. 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 Horrible death. Death. I don't know.
But you know
to pick anyone. White South Africans are fleeing because of the violence and racist laws. And this is all. I mean, I'll give these to you.
In desperation, Ramaphosa turned to his white colleagues to disprove Trump's allegations. These guys wouldn't be here if what you're saying is true, Ramaphosa said somewhat ominously. But even that backfired.
My dad was a property developer as well as a part-time farmer. And, yeah, some of his buddy farmers got killed. The farm is still going. My brothers run it. But it's a constant battle with farms trying to get... They're trying to burn the farms down to chase you away.
Donald Trump stands as one of the most extraordinary and effective politicians of our time. Those tragic individuals, many of them so-called conservatives, politicians and commentators alike, who suffer from acute Trump derangement syndrome, have no idea what historic times we are living in and what they are missing out on observing. Anyway, for years some of us have tried to bring this horrific issue of the South African farmers to light. I've had farmers on the phone to me from South Africa in tears. Each time I've raised the issue on either this show or on Outsiders over the last 9 years.
There's nothing you can do. There's nothing this parliament can do. With or without you, people are going to occupy land. We require no permission from you, from the president, from no one. We don't care. You can do whatever you want to do. Who are you to tell us whether we can occupy land or not?
Must never be scared to kill. At some point, there must be killing. Shoot to kill. Yamaza. Kill the poor, the farmer.
That is the tragic reality. Don't believe the fake media telling you otherwise. Let's leave the final word to the White House. Now that all of this is exposed, hopefully, it might even get fixed.
This is a very serious situation. And if we had a real news or a real press or media, we don't have that because they won't talk about this. But if we had a real press, it would be exposed. And you know, the beauty of exposing it is it's like a cleansing action. When it gets exposed, it'll get fixed. That's when it'll get fixed. But people don't talk about it. And I'll tell you who's talking about the thousands of people that are fleeing South Africa right now.
Now here you're going to see that two-faced lying snake, Ramaphosa. There he was with Trump where he said, we are against all these things. Now you'll hear Ramaphosa saying there is no genocide and that what's happening to the whites cannot be equated to the absolute horror of what whites did to blacks under apartheid. There are so many issues with the way these guys talk. He's lying through his teeth. And he is ignoring the fact that under white rule, blacks were being armed and blacks were carrying out terrorism and murder across South Africa. White farmers are not doing that. They always like to leave out key issues. They leave out key facts. And then they say, oh, you see, the whites were just beating us up for no reason at all. We were doing nothing wrong. They were armed with communist weapons. They were blowing people up. They were killing people. They were attacking places. That's why the government went after them. So they completely misrepresent the situation, and then he says, oh no, there's no genocide. From here onwards, the rest of the videos that I'm going to show you are going to show you the black response to what happened in the White House. And you are going to see what a waste of time it all is. It's a total waste of time. We cannot speak to these people. Keep watching. I'll show you more. So here is the two-faced lying snake Ramaphosa.
He sort of registered in his head the issue of whether what he terms as genocide can be equated to the struggle. And of course it cannot, because there is just no genocide in South Africa. And of course... It is an issue of how one looks at it. As they say sometimes, the shape of the mountain depends on where, which point or which direction you are looking at it. And in this case, we cannot equate what is alleged to be genocide to what we went through in the struggle, because people were killed because of the oppression that was taking place in our country. So you cannot equate that.
The next video is Julius Malema in South Africa. This is now after Trump has done that thing in the White House. And listen to what Julius Malema says.
That is a court decision that must be respected. Those who have appealed it, they must go and fight it in court. We won, and we shall sing this song in line with the court decision. The court of South Africa, an independent court, has made a declaration on this matter and is closed. This is sponsored outrage by Helen Zille. You know, black people, there are some black, clever blacks who are told by Helen Zille to get angry. Yo, Helen is angry, now we must be angry also. I don't even want to talk about that illiterate John Steinhausen. If Helen was opposed to this for real, why didn't Helen join the case? Why didn't the DA join the case when I was taken to Equality Court? Why didn't the Freedom Front join the case if they are genuine? So I'm not going to over-explain myself.
So there you have it out of Malema's mouth, where he says that he's allowed to sing that song, and he's going to sing that song because it was legal for him to do that, because he went to court, he fought the matter in court, and he won. I think he fought in the Equality Court and then he had to still go and fight it in the Constitutional Court, something like that. But that guy has got top-notch Jewish attorneys. His attorney is Jewish. His attorney is possibly the highest paid attorney in South Africa. And he won the case. Now, when he says the courts are independent, that's not quite true. Because all these blacks who are appointed in these courts, most of them are voting for the ANC. And make no mistake, the ANC, which is what Ramaphosa now leads, but Malema was also a part of it, The ANC is communist. They are behind all these things. They sang about killing whites. So all that happened is that this black, who was well-funded, has got excellent attorneys, and the courts themselves with highly sympathetic ANC people in them. The Constitutional Court of South Africa, which is like the Supreme Court of America, that thing ruled that this is legal. He's absolutely right. Of course, it shows you what a bunch of nonsense is going on in the court, because in any normal white Western society, that would never have been possible. But the blacks are now in charge. And it's like I've been warning people, when others are in charge, then you get weird, nasty things happening. It's like I tell people about Jews. When Jews have got power, Jews will do nasty things. It's the same thing here. The courts are not under white control anymore. And so this kind of hogwash goes through the court and it's fine. And now it's legal. It is totally legal. It's legal for him to sing "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer," but even so, a white person could not get up there and sing "Kill Malema, Kill This." A white man doing the same thing would be in jail pronto, pronto. So that's the kind of junk that comes out of South Africa. When he talks there about Helen Ziller, he's talking about the Jewish hag, Helen Ziller, who fakes it as a Christian these days, but she's really a communist. And she is the leader of the DA, the Democratic Alliance, total Jew-controlled liberal party. And she now says this is wrong, she's against it. Like any Jew, she's a chameleon. She changes her story as she needs to. Now she's against it. So Malema says, if Helen Ziller genuinely was against it, why didn't the DA come and fight him in court when he was busy with this stuff? Why didn't Helen Ziller and the DA oppose it in court? And he even says the same for the Afrikaners and the Freedom Front. I can't remember who Malema was fighting in court at the time. It was probably AfriForum that he was fighting. So probably only AfriForum was fighting on behalf of whites. So he's got some points there, that inciting hatred and inciting other blacks to kill whites and to sing that stupid song is legal in South Africa. Trump is right. It shouldn't be legal at all. And so now you get to see what happens when the country is run by the blacks and they get to start making court decisions. This is also why I tell people that it doesn't matter which constitution you're using. What really matters is who is in charge of the government, of the courts, etc. In the same way that in the USA you've got a whole bunch of Jews and other rubbish sitting on the Supreme Court, and now you're getting all kinds of weird outcomes. It's because aliens are taking over a thing. And these things can get even wilder. They can make all kinds of laws because the blacks have the power. In the next video, you'll see Ramaphosa, the guy who was there by Donald Trump, where Ramaphosa lied to Trump and said, oh, we're opposed to this. Our party has always been opposed to this. Well, what does Ramaphosa say after the event? Check it out. Here it is.
It's for us. And when it comes to the issues of arresting anyone for any slogan, that is a sovereign issue. It's not a matter where we need to be instructed by anyone that go and arrest this one. We are a very proud sovereign country that has its own laws, that has its own processes, and we take into account what the Constitutional Court also decided when it said that, you know, that slogan, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, is a liberation chant and slogan, and it's not meant to be a message that elicits or calls upon anyone to go and be killed. And that is what our court decided. So they will probably want to arrest people willy-nilly, we follow the dictates of our constitution. Because we are a constitutional state and we are a country where freedom of expression is the bedrock of our constitutional arrangement. Many people believe that we went to Washington to discuss Starlink. That is not so. The issue of Starlink never even came up in the discussions that we had in the White House with President Trump, notwithstanding the fact that Elon Musk was there as part of the U.S. delegation. So it wasn't discussed. The process of having low orbit satellites providing Wi-Fi and internet connectivity is known in South Africa. We've been through that. And there are quite a number of other companies, Chinese companies, European companies, and Russian companies, and many others, and local companies who are interested in getting into that space. So people tend to focus on one company only, and yet we've got a plethora of companies that would want to get into this space. So the environment to enhance or enable investment to happen in that space is precisely what needs to be properly crafted, properly permitted to enable that to happen. So the process that the minister has unleashed is a process that is going to elicit a lot of comment from the public, from various key stakeholders, including current role players in the sector. So that in itself is going to exhibit the true democratic process in our country, that when something new, something that is topical or even desirable has to be flighted or implemented or initiated, it's got to be supported by a lot of discussion.
So now you get to see Ramaphosa saying the total opposite of what he said to Trump's face. He now says, we are a proud nation. Let's rewrite that. We are a proud black republic, because that's what it really is. It's the will of the blacks. That's the issue here. And now he says, we don't just arrest people willy-nilly. We look at our constitution, and this went through the court. All of a sudden, he's saying the complete opposite. He didn't say that to Donald Trump. And he says, when it comes to the issues of arresting anyone, we are a sovereign nation. We are independent. We follow our rules. That's what he says here. He didn't say this to Donald Trump. And Malema and other blacks in South Africa tore into Ramaphosa for not standing up to Donald Trump. There's another guy, Shivambu. Shivambu was also in Malema's political party. Now Shivambu is working with Jacob Zuma, who also sings his own version of Kill the Boer and Kill the Whites. That thing of bring me my machine gun. And so now these blacks just turn around and say, well, it's not illegal because it's not illegal in our country. He's not breaking the law. We can't go and arrest him. Ramaphosa says, oh, we're not just going to arrest people willy-nilly. Well, you know, if you won't arrest someone for that, then what will you arrest people for? Trump is completely right from the white Western perspective. But now you're dealing with these non-whites, and they made the rules, and they do what the fuck they want. So that's the kind of thing why I tell people, you're wasting your time with these people. You're wasting your time with these blacks. Look at them. You give them power, they will do what they can once they have the power. They will not be doing what you want them to do. And now we sit with this mess. And then on the issue of Elon Musk and Starlink, these guys don't want Elon Musk here. They don't want to change the law to allow Elon Musk in. They've got their laws. They grab chunks of people's companies. That's known as BEE. And they aren't interested in him. They also don't really care which thing is the best. They look for who's going to give them the best backhanders, who's going to pay them the most in fees behind the scenes. I notice he says, you know, European companies, but I'm sure that that's not high on his priority list. And then he says Chinese and Russians. Yeah, that'll be what he wants. One of the other females who was with him in the White House, she also immediately said later, well, you know, the Chinese have actually got something better than Starlink and all that. So that's the kind of stuff that comes out of it. They've got power. They can make decisions. And they are not going to change things to make Donald Trump happy. What we'll have to see, though, is what the United States does and on which issues these guys bend. But these guys might not bend, eh? We'll have to see what it is that happens between the USA and these guys. I think the only thing that can put pressure on them is maybe Jewry and the super rich here can put pressure on these guys to try and make it so that some kind of deal with the USA works. We'll see what comes of all of this. But as you can see, he said one thing in the White House, and here he now says something completely different. Probably the rest of the blacks around him told him, you know, this is our position. Why aren't you defending our position? And so the black Jew now has to come and toe the party line, even though he's the supposed leader. But these blacks have got firm views on these matters. He is right about that nonsense of everything's got to go through discussion, but they still have the final say. But rest assured, Elon Musk will not be getting Starlink into South Africa. That's not happening. The next video is a fun one. It's from an American, and he's actually got a big audience, like over 1 million people, and he comes up with these short items. And so he has a lot of laughs at South Africa and how stupid we are. He's not even a right winger, but he can see the stupidity. The white mind can spot it. And he's stunned by the stupid shit that comes out of South Africa. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to explain to people. These people are nuts. These blacks are nuts. You can't work with them. There's nothing you can do. So here's the video.
The government of South Africa announces it's now going to be considered treasonous for their people to mention the poor treatment of white people. Nah, it's bullshit. Let me hear it.
And all their inner circles here in parliament who went to the United States to spin a narrative of victimhood of white people being murdered by blacks. These treasonous acts mobilizing the United States government to interfere in the domestic affairs of our country.
Minister, your response, please.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Chair. As indicated earlier, the law enforcement agencies are investigating the Treasonous Act of Misinformation and also that which is provided for in the, I forgot the right naming of the act that talks about treason in the country.
What a shithole. God damn, I'm glad I don't live there. Wow. Yep, what a shithole. Wow. Yeah, misinformation? Jesus. It's treason? I mean, hey, here's my opinion about, like, South Africa. Everything that I've read about it has just made me happier to be an American. I'll tell you that.
Shoot to kill! Come on, sir!
So here's a white liberal American, and he says, this is just crazy. Here you've got members of parliament in government, and these members of parliament are now saying that white people who speak to the United States government or who spread information about whites in South Africa being maltreated, that this is treason, that this is treason. So in the parliament, they're already discussing what they can do. I have mentioned that whenever whites are happy and whites do something, like in 2017 with the Black Monday protests, the huge protests done by whites across South Africa, that whenever whites do something big like that, and now with Donald Trump, that these blacks can come and make a law. They'll make a law to make certain things illegal. So who knows what freaky law they're going to be thinking up here in South Africa. These are people with power. They can make the law. And they're already discussing it in Parliament. And if they want it to become law, there's enough of them. They can create a law. In 2017, at those farm murder protests, there were a couple of photos of whites with the apartheid flag. The government made it illegal to ever display that flag. To display that flag is a crime. And they made that law after the 2017 protests. So they might even make a law after this discussion with Trump. That is what happens when you are ruled by aliens, when you are ruled by another race that is completely different. And the same stuff applies to jury. Give Jews power and jury are going to mess with your system. But here in South Africa, the blacks control the government instruments. They control the army, the police, the courts. So all kinds of nasty things are possible. And I assure you, they do not want to see whites happy. When they see whites are happy and whites have pulled off something, they will immediately see what they can do. And everything they are saying is fine from their point of view. They see us as a threat, as an enemy, as an alien thing now. In the same way that when we ruled them, we saw them as an alien, an enemy, and a threat. You just can't get away from these issues. These issues are real. You can't wish them away. In the next video, you'll see that a black woman who was there with Ramaphosa when he was in the White House, she went and she said to Trump, she went through a long-winded discussion there, but watch how she argues. Watch how she argues about crime and the problems of South Africa.
Thank you very much, Mr. President Trump, for having us, and President, for extending the invitation to us as organized labor. And I must say that we are here to support the initiative that has been made by our government with business, of course, as organized labor. We've been coming to Washington on the AGOA trade relations in the previous regime. And I think at the center of it all, for me, it is exactly what Mr. Rupert has said, the importance of us growing the economy. We have always emphasized when we were here and kept on coming and negotiating on AGOA that the 600 U.S. companies that are based in South Africa, as you said, President Ramaphosa, 500,000 jobs will be wiped out. We need more foreign direct investment in our country. We are not just talking about those that will lose employment, but we are talking about over 40% of people that are unemployed, that have no hope of ever finding job. And we think that, correctly as they have said, that we need to deal with the issue of porous borders in our country, so that everyone that comes in is documented. We also need to, and I would have thought that the minister would address the issue of land expropriation and how the policy works in South Africa. Recently, President, as you were preparing to come here on the news, in I think it was in Natal, there was a handover of farms, and white farmers were saying, we are donating the land, but also there's a willing buyer, willing seller in South Africa. So there is no expropriation without compensation. But it is a willing buyer, willing seller. And that white farmer was even saying, President, that the government is even paying more in buying the land than what the land is worth of. And I think those are the realities, President, that we must say that we need to address, of course, but also the importance of agriculture linked to AGOA. people rely on it, and I think, as Retief have said, for survival and living. But lastly, for me, President, is also the issue of the crime statistics. There is no doubt about it that we are a violent nation, you know, for a number of reasons, and we're not condoning anything. But also, if you go into the rural areas where black majority are, you would see women, elderly, being raped, being killed, being murdered. And these are black elderly women that would be found throat slits, raped multiple times, and all of that. And the problem in South Africa, it is not necessarily about race, but it is about crime. And we think that we are here to say, how do we both nations work together to reset, to really talk about investment, but also help us in how we can have the technology and everything that is needed, President, to really address the levels of crime that we have in our country. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This black female represents a communist trade union, COSATU. That's the big trade union that's linked to the ANC, which is the political party of Ramaphosa and the others. When she mentions AGOA, that is the agreement between America and South Africa. It's the trade agreement between America and South Africa, and it's very, very generous, and it gives lots and lots of good stuff to South Africa, including low tariffs, extra free money, etc. It looks almost like this White House thing was organized between the super rich in South Africa and the government to try to go to the United States, because America has been threatening to change this agreement because they don't like especially what South Africa is doing on a number of fronts, like Russia, like the anti-Israel stuff, China. So now you've got the super rich trying to push these blacks to go to America to try and fix things. That is the original reason for this visit. But in reality, these some of these whites were there for ulterior white motives, like those two golfers. The bottom line here in Africa is that these blacks need foreign investment. They don't know really how to run a economy. So this is where leverage from America and Europe is very important. The Europeans and the Americans use foreign investment to get leverage over these black rulers. And this female admits how much they need it, and that if they don't get it, that hundreds of thousands of people could lose their jobs. But of course, most of those people nowadays are black, because so many whites have been kicked out of the normal job market. When she was talking there about, there were some farms handed over recently and it was willing buyer, willing seller. Well, that is the system that used to be in place. The original system that was negotiated by the whites and the blacks worked on willing buyer, willing seller. In other words, the blacks had to offer the whites money and the whites had to be willing to take the money. So now she makes out like, that's how it really works. That's how it really works. But they have created the law to do expropriation without compensation. And I remember that there was already a farm where they went after the farmer several years ago already. So she now misrepresents it. She basically lies to say, you see, we're not doing this really. In reality, we're doing willing buyer, willing seller. Bollocks. The law has been created for expropriation without compensation. So she's talking a bunch of shit there. So then she goes on to say that, there is a lot of crime, and she made out like the crime is worse in the rural areas. She said that most of the blacks live in the rural areas. I've actually gone and looked into this myself. when I did one of my other videos about blacks and whites and warfare, and I found that the ratio of blacks and whites in urban areas and in rural areas is the same. That basically the vast majority of blacks live in cities. They live in urban areas. So when she says the vast majority of blacks live in the rural areas, she's lying. She might not be able to count either. Most of South Africa's population lives in cities. That is true for whites and it's true for blacks. So when she goes on with that whole story of black women being raped in rural areas, like it's such a horrific, massive issue, she's just playing word games there. And then she ends up saying the issue with crime is not race. It's not race, which is bollocks, okay? And then notice how she says, well, you know, we want to fix these trade agreements. We need help in South Africa. But you, America, may need to help us fight crime. So now she is basically saying, you Americans must help us to fight crime. We can't fight crime. All of these stories are a big bunch of baloney. The truth of the matter is, whites in South Africa can fight crime easily. Whites in South Africa have fought crime. You saw that video of mine of Norman Reeves, where Norman Reeves said that this thing can be solved in no time at all. The real issue is not that we can't fight crime. The real issue is that the government has made all kinds of laws that make it impossible to fight crime properly. Even so, we manage to do quite well, despite all the rules. But it's the government that disarmed the whites. It's the government that made it hard to own guns. It's the government that made 101 different rules to make it difficult for security companies. Even so, we managed to hang in there. The issue is not that we need money from America or even technology from America or the United States government. The problem is them. It's them. They who make the rules are the ones that are the cause of all the problems, including crime. It is them who took away the death penalty. It is them who let prisoners go left, right, and center. They are the actual cause of the real issue. And again, I say to you that one wastes one's time dealing with these people. You get arguments like this where you are wasting your time. And if you talk to them, they will come at you with all kinds of bullshit along those lines. In the end, whites have to do their own thing. In the next video, we're back to Ramaphosa. You can hear him talking his bullshit again. You'll hear again he's busy with the same bullshit. Here it is.
That slogan, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, is a liberation chant and slogan. And it's not meant to be a message that elicits or calls upon anyone to go and be killed. And that is what our court decided. So they will probably want to arrest people willy-nilly. We follow the dictates of our constitution.
Scared of me, call me into that meeting. That nonsense that Trump did in America, he will never do that nonsense in my presence because I will confront him here and there with the facts. Are you not arresting this Julius Malema? Why is this Julius Malema not in jail? He can't respond with a simple fact that this song, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer, was approved by the Constitutional Court. We are a constitutional democracy.
I'm not going to be reckless. When he says to Ramaphosa, why is this man not in jail? Why are you not arresting this man? He simply means, why are you not killing this man? Because this man wants to kill white people. That's what he believes.
Order is given in White House without advertisement, where Rupert stands up and says, why is Elon Musk, Starlink, not given an opportunity in South Africa? Elon Musk's business cannot come to South Africa if he's not compliant with 30% BEE. Comrades, we must defend our country against imperialism. The only organization that is hated by imperialists is the EFF. I will never be intimidated by America. I will never be intimidated by Donald Trump. They were speaking about me in that meeting at White House. If they were not gossiping about me, they should have called me into that meeting. I would have answered everything that Donald Trump wanted from us. Banchaba ba sebaka nna batho ba baholo ka dikhone ba tia transport ba ya kwa America ba yo bua ka nna slege. If they are not scared of me, call me into that meeting. That nonsense that Trump did in America, he will never do that nonsense in my presence, because I will confront him here and there with the facts. Ramaphosa could not present the facts in front of Donald Trump. You've got a coward president. He left here. Ariana, he won't be bullied. When he arrived there, he was shaking. Atatazela, achaba Donald Trump, another president scared of another president. Donald Trump said to him, when you say farmers, you mean white people. He kept quiet. Farmers do not mean white people. They are black farmers. They are white farmers. Ramaphosa is a farmer himself. He should have said to Donald Trump, no, farmers are not white. I'm a farmer myself. I am not white. Why didn't he present that simple fact before Donald Trump? Why didn't he say, there are so many people killed in South Africa, and majority of them are blacks. There is no white genocide in South Africa. Bam Monchatsila, with crosses, he opens his eyes in shock. I know South Africa with my eyes closed. He's unable to tell Donald Trump, that is not a picture of South Africa. This picture does not belong to us. We don't have mass graves. We don't have mass graves of white people in South Africa. Comrades, Donald Trump says to him, hey Ramaphosa, why are you not arresting this Julius Malema? Why is this Julius Malema not in jail? He can't respond with a simple fact that this song, Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer, was approved by the Constitutional Court. We are a constitutional democracy. We must defend the decision. He failed to defend the Constitutional Court. By failing to defend the Constitutional Court, it means he failed to protect the Constitution. And when you fail to protect the Constitution as a president of the country, you have failed in your primary duty of defending the sovereignty of South Africa. Ramaphosa is a failure. But you must understand one thing. When Trump says, why is this man not in jail? Why is this man not arrested? He simply means, why is this man not dead? Why are you not killing this man who wants to kill for white people? In that White House, my ticket was taken out. They called for my life with an attempt to silence me. They will never kill me again, because where I am dead. Because black people are dead. Black people have got no dignity. Black people have got no human rights. Black people cannot determine their own destination. They are waiting on the white supremacist to tell them which direction to take. What is this life we are living of being cowards? I'm not going to be silenced by threat of violence. I'm not going to be silenced by threat of death. When you say don't jail him, Ramaphosa should have said, in South Africa, we don't jail people like that. There are courts in South Africa, and the courts have said there is nothing wrong with this song. This is not my song. I did not compose this song. I found this song. The struggle heroes composed this song. All I'm doing is to defend the legacy of our struggle. This is a heritage of our struggle. This is the song that was sung by Peter Mokaba in the presence of Chris Hani, in the presence of Winnie Mandela. And therefore, I will never stop singing a song that Winnie Mandela sang before she died. That will be a betrayal to the struggle of our people.
So there's the stupid black Jew, Ramaphosa, again saying, we're not going to arrest people willy-nilly. As if someone at a stadium of 100,000 people saying, kill the Boer, kill the farmer, prr, pa. And as if that is nothing, as if it's nothing. So there you can see Julius Malema saying that he would have put Trump in his place. So he basically says Ramaphosa's responses to Trump were total nonsense. He totally stuffed it up. We are a, quotes, constitutional democracy, and this is legal. Yeah, it is legal, because they are the ones in charge. So then there is Malema saying, oh, we got to defend our country against imperialism. You know, this is American imperialism. They want to dictate things to us. You see, he engages in his communist talk. So did you see the kind of responses that Malema comes up with? Where he says, farmer doesn't mean white. Of course, the vast majority of all the farming done in South Africa is by whites and has always been by whites. All the farming organizations are controlled by whites. But now these guys start arguing using the exception. It is true that Ramaphosa is a, quotes, farmer. He's got some very big farms. He's a billionaire. He bought all these things. It's not to say that he's actually a real farmer. But look at the kinds of things that these blacks come up with. You've taught them English. You've taught them how to argue. You've taught them a whole bunch of stuff. And now they do as they please. And did you notice he used the term comrades? Comrades, that is the old communist term. These guys are commies, and you can see it in their clothing and in their symbols. Total communists. And Malema goes on and on about what a threat this is to his life. They really want him dead. All of this is just a covert discussion about killing him. But he'll fight on, blah, blah, blah. Just for the record, Malema comes from a small tribe. It's not a big tribe. It's not a major tribe. I must tell you that this stuff, when I see these blacks with all this technology and the way they are using it and how the technology is being misused, it disgusts me. Educating these blacks, helping these blacks has been a total waste of time. So that should show you how the blacks reacted to what Donald Trump did. The whites are happy, Boers are happy, but look at the blacks. Look at the blacks. They want to fight. They argue back. They don't admit that there's anything that they do wrong. Again and again, I find myself looking at this stuff, shaking my head and saying, we've wasted our time with these people. What follows is a show that I did with Frederick Blackburn. However, on the day that we did the show, there was a problem. There was a technical problem, and I was struggling to connect to their show. So you'll see that I eventually managed to get in, but it's only after about 15 minutes or so that he's been busy. And we discuss the White House and what happened. South Africa, Ramaphosa. And the way that he ambushed him with the whole farm murders thing, which was brilliant, I must tell you. I can't tell you, Frederick, in all the years that I've been on the internet, this is the greatest and most awesome thing that has happened. This is the best thing that ever happened to white South Africans. Plus, plus the fact that that first handful of refugees, the first 50 refugees got in. And that alone was stirring up the blacks this side. The blacks and the liberals were getting stirred up about that. They did not like any of that stuff. So it was
the same here. The blacks, I don't know if you saw any of the TikTok videos, but American blacks were saying we need death squads to go and hunt down these 59 white farmers from South Africa to show them that we don't play that way here. You know, so that was the insanity that we were seeing on this. Yeah, I'll have to send you some of those nuggets.
So I'm happy to chat if I may comment or continue, or if there's something you want to ask.
Please go ahead.
Well, I must tell you that thing blew my mind, and I got to hand it to Donald Trump. He did the most amazing thing that anyone's ever done, ever. There is no politician in the world, in all the decades that I've been here in South Africa, never, ever, ever has a politician anywhere in the Western world stood up for white South Africans like Donald Trump did. I was stunned by it. And I was even quite pleased with Elon Musk. And I'm no Elon Musk fan, but Elon Musk has pointed out the issue that there's like 140 laws and statutes against whites in South Africa. We are a minority, and the government made endless amounts of laws that specifically target white people. It says it's for whites only, and it's all kinds of stuff to make our lives a misery, to prevent us from, you know, doing all kinds of things. We can't make money. We've got to give up parts of our businesses, all that sort of stuff. So just a few comments that I'm just going to fire away at as we go into this. Farm murders, regarding the question of farm murders, to really understand farm murders, you've got to understand the so-called liberation wars of Africa. This whole business of killing farmers, this is a thing that started in countries outside South Africa when the blacks were attacking the whites in the Portuguese territories, in Angola, in Mozambique, in Rhodesia. They focused on the farmers because the farmers are the easiest targets. The farmers are out in the rural areas. There were, for example, probably the most intensive attempts to kill white farmers took place in the northeastern part of Rhodesia in the 1960s and 70s, especially the 1970s. There was a flipping raging war on the farms. Farmers had to literally dig trenches and stuff and put up all kinds of and many farmers had to put like sandbags and things in their houses, like you see in World War II. That kind of stuff was going on in Rhodesia. So all of this stuff has got to do with the Russians training them, the Soviet Union, the Russians. They trained them, they taught them, and they taught them how to attack these people and all the things to do. And that is just something, and I think that the reason for this is that communism, they see the farmers as the biggest threat to their power. As few as those farmers are, the farmers are tougher and stronger, and they know that the farmers are the ones who are the most irritated with them. And that is why they focus on the farmers. That's why in the year 2000, Robert Mugabe went and seized 5,000 farms in Zimbabwe. They see the farmers as a threat to them. The urbanites are easier to control. It's almost like you guys in the Appalachians, you know, tougher southern rural boys. And they see farmers as a big threat, and that's why they come after them. And it's an old communist thing, and it's been going on for decades. They were murdering farmers even in South Africa in the 1990s. And I've got statistics that I put into a video They've been killing white farmers since 1994. This has been going on for over 30 years, nonstop. And they hate the farmers, and then on top of it, they want to get rid of the farms and get it into the hands of blacks. They don't like the farmers for many reasons. And you might say, but the farmers are feeding the country. The blacks don't care. I wrote about this kind of stuff in my book, Government by Deception. When I wrote my book, Government by Deception, in 2001, I pointed out that people don't understand how these blacks are thinking. These blacks are thinking in terms of power. And these blacks, they don't care what they have to destroy as long as they hurt us. The goal is to hurt us. That's the thing. The goal is to hurt us and take our power away. They do not even care if even millions of blacks starve to death. They don't care. Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe said that it's fine if even half of the population of Zimbabwe were to starve to death, if that's what had to happen in order to get rid of the white farmers. He was game for that. He didn't care at all. These blacks, when it comes to power, they are ruthless. And don't be fooled by that snake, Ramaphosa, who's our president. You know, Ramaphosa, I saw there that when he was talking to Trump, that he said to Trump, oh, you see, it's only now that we are starting to get to the land issue. That's big bollocks, that. That's big lying, that, okay? I did a video, and I urge your supporters to check it out. If you go to either africancrisis.info, but probably History Reviewed is the best one. Go to historyreviewed.com, click on History Reviewed TV, and then just scroll down. You just scroll down a little bit. You will see a video that's called The Real Evidence for Farm Murders in South Africa. In that video, I explain lots and lots of things, and I show people lots and lots of stuff. The blacks have been trying to get farmland out of the whites for decades, and they had an agreement with the whites back in 1994. They had an agreement that the whites, that they could take land from the whites. The whites agreed. They all agreed on the process. They said, okay, we're going to do it through the courts. This is the law. That's how the law is going to be implemented. They came and they took a whole bunch of farms. And it took them like about 10 or 12 or more years to go through the process and to grab a whole stack of farms. They took lots of farms. They took very, very expensive farms. And then what happened was, after they had done that, they then saw that, you know what, there's still more farms. They didn't get that. And then they tried to come up with a new lie as to why they still need to get more farms. So they created another law. And that law, when they actually created a law that was illegal, and even the courts wouldn't let that law through. And then they came back and they fiddled with it, and it took them several years to wangle this thing to where they now got this thing of seizing the land without compensation. And people can't understand this. People think, oh, you know, why can't they pay for the farmland? Is the farmland too expensive? Or has the government run out of money? You don't understand. The goal is to hurt us. The goal is to seize the white farmers' land and leave them penniless. That's the freaking goal. And these people are bullshit artists. They lie about all these things. They lie about the reasons why they're doing these things. And that's what's really going on here. So when Ramaphosa said, oh, we're only getting around to it now. No, this is about the third attempt to come after land. And this thing is nasty. So you know, that'll give you an idea. And they have already, with this new law, they already the very first farm that they went after was a farm that in American dollars, it's worth $10 million, which I got to tell you, for South Africa, that's an insane amount of money. So they went after a farmer whose farm was worth $10 million. And I don't know what happened. I think he fought them in courts and stuff. I don't know what the outcome was. But whites have fought viciously and against this thing using all legal means, and farm organizations were involved in trying to stop this stuff. So you know, Ramaphosa is lying about that. The other thing that they're lying about is when they turn around and say, oh, well, you know, according to the police statistics, only 8 farmers were killed in a year. Actually, annually, year on year, there are at least 50 farmers that are killed every year. Every week, a farmer is killed. And that is still ignoring all the farmers that were attacked who managed to survive. There are lots and lots of attacks where the farmers managed to survive. And then you get like 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10 who's actually killed. The police statistics are total junk. It's complete rubbish, and they lie about that. So when they claim that we're just making it up, it's all hogwash. It's total junk. And then
that was what amazed me about the pushback from the Mockingbird media, was that Trump was out of line and this totally unsubstantiated rumors of genocide in South Africa, that they refused to acknowledge the facts. And you know, that's just the mind-blowing aspect, just how much propaganda there is against white South Africans. And for the listeners, we are going to be skipping the bottom of the hour break because we had technical difficulties. We want to give as much airtime to Mr. Lambrick as possible. So we're going to open up the phone lines now. If you want to call in and talk to Mr. Lambrick, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And remember, this is listener-sponsored radio. To keep this network on the air, please support RBN and RBN sponsors. And Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. James in Vancouver, please? Mr. James, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. I have an angle on this. I think that I need to ask your guest if my angle is correct, but once they drive the farmers or kill the farmers, the land is empty. I think that the South African government wants to sell the land to the Chinese. What does your guest think of that idea?
There has been talk. Let me tell you something. There has been talk over the years that there are some farms have got a lot of minerals on them. And that is where the Jews and the blacks have even tried to move in on certain farms. But I think that the whites saw through that, and the whites fight back. And the idea, an idea that I came across in recent years, is that it looked like the blacks were quite happy to get rid of the farmers and replace those farms with mines, and let anybody who wants to come and do mining in South Africa, they can do it. Yes.
So the Chinese are a factor. I checked, there's at least 350,000 Chinese living in South Africa today. Is that right, or is that low, or is that high?
To be honest with you, I hardly ever see any Chinese at all. There are people from Thailand and so forth, but to be honest with you, if I want to see Chinese people, I have to go all the way to the Chinese mall, and then I'll see a handful of Chinese there. It's not like we're being flooded with the Chinese. But I also do want to tell you that don't worry too much about the Chinese. The Chinese are not as successful as you think. They're not as dangerous as you think.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, here in North Carolina, we have such an influx of Chinese interest buying up farms, especially pork farms. In the pig production, like Smithfield Industries, right, was completely bought up by Chinese interests. And when you look at the map of North Carolina now with how much farmland China owns in North Carolina, and then you look at South Africa and hear that there's a big push for the Chinese to come in and buy things up, I see that as interesting. But so you're saying that the Chinese aren't as much of a threat as the Jewish mining interests?
Definitely not. The mines are like 90% controlled by either Jews or English. Afrikaners hardly own any mines. They own very little.
I should explain myself. I lived in Taiwan in the 1980s when Taiwan was aligned with South Africa. And I saw the Mandela come to Taipei, Taiwan in the 1990s, talking his thing like, well, you know, we have to thank Taiwan for its help to South Africa, but we are going to support our friends who have supported us since 1950, mainland China. And the guy, Mandela, was very unimpressive as a diplomat to me. So that's that's my approach to this issue, is that they want to do business. They want the cash from China, you see, because I understand that every province in China has an African state that they dump money into. Have you heard of this strategy?
I've never heard of that. Where the Chinese have got a lot of power is in Zimbabwe, which used to be Rhodesia.
Okay.
And I can tell you that from the things that happened there, because the government of Zimbabwe was the military organization that was armed by the Chinese. So Zimbabwe is the place where the Chinese have got the most sort of direct linkage. And those guys let the Chinese in whenever the Chinese want to come in. But over the years, the Chinese sort of come and go. There are times when there are quite a lot of Chinese in Zimbabwe, and then they leave, and even neighboring states. So Chinese are not people that like come and stay and take over everything. We've got lots of Asians here in South Africa, like Indians. Now, where I live, we've got Indians who live in this neighborhood as well. And so the Indians are very wealthy. And of all the Asians, the Indians have got the most money. But the Indians are much more friendly to the whites, much more so, because black guys like Malema have actually wanted to also kill the Indians. So so now the Indians are our buddies.
I was wondering one more question. When the black people get in these stadiums, like what Donald Trump played, they're all jumping and shouting, kill the white man, etc. Who pays for their lunch? That is to say, who finances these mass meetings? Back to you.
Brilliant question. Exactly. It costs huge amounts of money to do that kind of stuff. Those stadiums belong to corporations. It costs insane amounts of money to do that. Now, Julius Malema's got more links to Jews and to rich whites. I've even heard at one point that Malema was getting money from, can you believe, businessmen in Italy? But I don't know if those are white businessmen in Italy or Jews in Italy or what they were. But in South Africa, he's linked his organization. You'll see all kinds of Jews, quotes, white Jews, crawling out of the woodwork, coming to work with Malema. And he's received money from other very wealthy Jews. And his main attorney, the main attorney who keeps him out of jail, is a Jew. Is the most expensive Jewish lawyer in the country. So the thing about Malema is that he's surrounded by Jewry, and you'll see that there's even There's even a tweet that he put out where he's in defense of the Jews. Oh, anti-Semitism can't be tolerated. Yeah, he gets huge amounts of money. And let me just tell you something else about Malema. You know, all those things that Malema is saying, South Africa has got hate speech laws just like Canada and the rest of the world. Let's say like everybody except maybe the Americans, okay? Now Malema, for those things that Malema says, he should have been stuck in jail for 20 or 30 years by now for all the things that he's said that are actual violations of hate speech law. Yet you will never see the South African government go after him. You'll never see any of the politicians speak out negatively about him. And they've even, the way that they kind of fiddled the hate speech law so that the blacks could say these things. And then the excuses are, but we used to do that stuff under apartheid or when we were fighting apartheid. And even some of those claims are claims that really need to be looked at more closely. But that guy should have been in jail already long time ago. And let me tell you, dozens and dozens of whites, as well as several white organizations, including Afrikaans organizations, have tried to get Malema into jail. They've all gone and lodged court cases against Malema, and Malema gets off every single time.
Yeah, because he's practicing incitement. Last time I studied law, criminal law, inciting people to commit crimes is also a crime. But I believe sooner or later the black people will be double-crossed. What are your ideas about that? I'm going to be double-crossed by these.
I think the thing that you need to underestimate is the amount of strength and loyalty the blacks have for their communist system, and that they won't just change their ideas. The main thing that's going on is that there's a fight. There's a fight between two groups of blacks. That guy that you saw in the White House, Ramaphosa, he is in a long-term fight against another guy called Zuma. Zuma was the previous president of South Africa. The two of them, you've basically got the political party split into two, and the two of them are fighting for control of the political party. But that guy Ramaphosa that you see there, he's also linked to the Jews. He is maybe Ramaphosa might be the closest thing. He's the closest thing to Jewry getting a hand on the government. But it's not like a firm hand. The blacks in Africa are not like the blacks in North America. It's not like they're going to chop and change. Here they are going to stick pretty much with the same kind of stuff. And all black politics in Africa, all black politics is one form of communism or another. It's all communism.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, great call, James.
Yes.
We've got some more
people. All right, talk to you later. Thanks. I hope your guest comes back again.
All right. You have a great weekend. Thanks for calling. All right, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. Eric in New York, please? Mr. Eric, are you there, sir?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. So, I'm glad you brought up Julius Malema. Now, I watched, and you just about got it. You mentioned his connection to Italy, and I'm here yelling Rome at the telephone while I'm listening to your presentation. It wasn't, you said, I don't know if it was the whites or I don't know if it was the Jews. Let me put forth it was the Romans and the Vatican. Now, here's why, very interesting. I watched Julius Malema make a speech several years ago at the South African Parliament session, their government meeting. And I noticed that he was wearing the collar of a Vatican priest, black with the little white in the center. And I said, wow, is anybody else noticing this or is it just me? I mean, it was really obvious. I would put forth that Julius Malema is the classic example of a Jesuit. He's put forth, now don't forget, the original communist platform was put forth into practice at the Reducciones in Central America by the Jesuit missionaries who set up the original communist plantations, which were called Reducciones. Look it up. And so I, with the garb that Julius Malema was wearing, now, one of the things he mentioned at his presentation at Parliament was he said, because I was wondering, where's this land going to go when they take it? He said the land is going to go into an international land trust. And these trusts are run by the City of London and Rome. And yes, there might be Jewish people involved, but the real power is in London and Rome, the royal families of Europe, London, the British royal family, and the Vatican. And those are the United Nations. They're one of their hit squad. So I just wanted to put that forward, that Julius Malema absolutely fits the perfect profile of a Jesuit. He was wearing the garb of a Jesuit priest. He said the land was going into a land trust. And I said, I can see where this is going. So it's not going to be in the hands of the South African blacks. It's not going to be necessarily in the hands of the communists, although they may be the managers. It's going to be in the hands of the internationalists and the international landowners, the off-limits land, just like Obama took all the land and put it into, it turned it into federal, quote-unquote federal land.
Yes, like the Blue Ridge Conservancy here in North Kakalaki that is putting all this stuff into a UN Agenda 2030 stuff, yeah. So great call.
I used to listen to Robbie Noel. I don't know who he is, but he was a great South African patriot who returned to South Africa and Rhodesia to fight for, to preserve the farmers' land. And when I was listening to him, I lived down in the Smoky Mountain National Park, and he was mentioning how the Smoky Mountain National Park was one of these UN agenda biospheres. And so I decided to take a look for myself. So I found one of the more popular entrances to the Smoky Mountain National Park, which borders Tennessee and North Carolina. And it said right on the sign, it said, "Welcome, you are now entering the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, a UN biosphere reserve." There you go. And I said,
all right. Great call. We've got a few more lined up. So anything else before we let you go?
Guys, appreciate what you're doing. God bless you. Let us know how we can help you, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, Mr. Producer, can we have Brendan in Massachusetts, please? Mr. Brendan, are you there?
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Greetings. Here's the question I would present to you. President Trump is in a serious situation with the Gaza situation. The Palestinians are being exterminated. So what better way to engage in a PSYOP public relations diversion than to say, hey, we're going to have South Africans coming in into the USA and make it a big issue that there's a race issue in which blacks are killing whites in South Africa. Of course, this has been going on. So why now? Question, cui bono? Answer, President Trump. He has to have political cover to justify his acquiescence to the genocidal acts in Palestine. That's it, isn't it?
What do you think, Mr. Yan?
Look, there has been a lot of stress between the United States even before Trump was elected. There was already stress because South Africa lodged that court case at the international court regarding the Palestinians and Gaza already. And so the United States, yes, the United States has got a reason to come after South Africa. And you're quite right that it is linked to the there are two things that we in South Africa have heard that the United States doesn't like. The United States did not like it, this thing when the blacks laid that charge at that international criminal court. And the other thing the blacks that the United States government doesn't like is the closeness of the current blacks to the Russians. And those two issues are issues where noises have come out of America time and again.
Let me cut you to the chase, Jan. Hold on. Let me cut you to the chase. Do you trust President Trump?
Look, I don't, it's a simple yes or no. I was a big supporter of Trump the first time he was around, but this time I didn't have any faith at all. And I just left things to just see how things developed. And this is the one thing that he has done, which for us who never get any help from anyone, for us, this is huge. And right. you cannot deny that.
Right. I can see the South Africa brought the Palestine situation to the international court. South Africa needs to be punished. Well, so therefore do this against
look at the metrics. Look at the public relations. It's very simple. Listen, Trump has a black eye with the Palestine situation. So what does he do? He flips it around and says, hey, listen, I'm going to take people who have been genocided for 30, 40, 50 years, and now I'm going to be their friend. Once that is no longer useful to Trump and the people who control him, the Jews, they will drop South Africa like a hot potato.
Great observation.
If I could make an observation, I went through a book that was written about Trump's first presidency. And in that book, they pointed out that in his first presidency, he was already inside United States government meetings. He did bring up the issue of white South Africans. He has known about it for long. It's not just a thing that's come up once.
In his first term.
All right. All right, Ms. Brandon, we're going to let you go. You got any last word before we let you go?
Yeah, I'm just saying Trump is using South Africa like a tool. Be aware.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. You have a great weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, we have Mr. Wayne in Texas, please. Mr. Wayne, are you there, sir?
Yeah, hi, guys. Good show.
Great.
First comment is I just think what Trump is doing is just a big thank you to Elon Musk for the billions of dollars he spent to help him get elected and also with Doge and everything else. That's why I think that was the deal there for him to go in and help the South Africaners, get some kind of movement out of that country. But that's just a comment. Now, my question is for Jan, which I'm a big fan, Jan. Been following you for about 15 years. But now that the Afrikaners have an ally in Trump, President Trump, do you see a movement from the Boers, a.k.a. the farmers, to disannex from South Africa and somehow form their own government with the help of the Trump administration?
Well, I will tell you that the whites in South Africa, morale was very, very low. Our morale was hitting rock bottom here. And then when Trump started talking in January, about offering us refugee status, whites in South Africa, especially Afrikaners, were already, the moment they heard that, within a week or two, they were rushing to go and start doing things and to show their support for Trump. Like within a couple of weeks, they had a big get together in Pretoria at the United States Embassy. And from what I saw, thousands of whites came. Some of them came from far away. Hey, they came from very far away and they went to the United States Embassy and they handed over a petition asking for help from the United States government. And it went down well. And the moment that Trump even was speaking of refugee status, all the people that I know in the white right started getting active because people's morale had been so down that even people who used to do stuff about farm murders and protests for farm murders, all their organizations had literally collapsed. So I can't tell you what a morale booster it's been for us. It's been an amazing morale booster. Now you ask the question of where to next. Can we get to the next level, which is to start doing our own thing? I don't think anyone's quite in the mood for that at this point in time. And I don't think Trump would go for it. But I do think that with morale going up, this is exactly the kind of line that I would want to push more, is that as we get more white friends outside South Africa, that's exactly the path we need to go down. We need to go down the path of trying to get our own territory. But I don't think that that's going to happen anytime soon. I think that's still quite a long way off. But we need to see what support we can get. Now, a big thing that I think Trump has done is Trump has shifted the Overton window. And one thing I'll hand to Trump and Musk is that they know how to make noise and they know how to stir people up. And that there will be long-term consequences to this. So I think that Trump likes to stir things up and get people agitated. And there's even a video I saw where Trump said that eventually things resolve themselves. And so I think he does it very deliberately as a tactic. And I think that between him and Musk, and don't imagine that Musk is a guy who's very loyal to the whites of South Africa. Musk doesn't care. But I do think that between Trump and Musk, there is something going on there. And for us, it gives us publicity that we've never had. So for us, it's like a breath of fresh air. I cannot tell you how important this is.
Mr. White?
Oh, that's great. That's great to hear. And I would just say there's no way that you and other white people can live under that racist government, you know, for the much longer. And I think the faster a movement gets going to just separate yourselves, get your own territory somehow, I think that'd be the way to survive. And then you won't drain the manpower and the farm technology out of your own country.
I totally agree with you. But what I think could happen is the United States has got a lot of power, and it depends on the politics that's happening. I still think all sorts of things could happen that could help us. Though the blacks themselves are very ruthless, and they are even vengeful, and some of them are talking about whites having to be charged for treason. Can you believe? But all of these things are good. We need things to stir things up. Stirring things up is the best way forward.
Good point. Mr. Wayne, we're going to have to let you go here. We're about out of time, but great call. Thanks for calling in. I hope you have a great weekend.
God bless you, Jan.
Thank you so much.
All right, Mr. Jan, we're about out of time, so I'm going to let you have the last word. So where from here?
Well, all I'll say is my websites, historyreviewed.com and africancrisis.info. And for people really interested, look for my video, The Real Evidence for Farm Murders in South Africa. It's very detailed. And I really appreciated this last caller. So thank you very much, guys. And
what about the Orania project? You know, how is that coming along?
Orania continues on. That thing is not going to stop. And there are other smaller versions of Orania that also exist that we've never discussed. So don't think that the Afrikaners are just going to give up South Africa. The vast majority of Afrikaners are going to stick around here. They don't see South Africa as a country that belongs to the blacks. There's more loyalty to South Africa than you realize from the Afrikaners.
Right. All righty. And, you know, of course, my thing is we should just go in and push everything up to the Tropic of Capricorn and you know, say, that's ours. We developed it. We want it back. But that's just me and my grandiose visions for world conquest, right? So, yeah, first we take South Africa, then we, you know, Constantinople, right? So, but Jan, it's always a pleasure. Really appreciate all the work you've done there, and also for always supporting my work there in South Africa. I always like promoting your stuff here, and you're down there promoting my stuff, you know, there. And just know that we are thinking about all you down in South Africa and Rhodesia. I'll never call it Zimbabwe. And you just got to take our lands back, and there's nothing bad about that. So last word before we let you go.
Your sentiments are awesome. You and I are thinking exactly the same. And as far as I'm concerned, the real battle has not yet started. That's all I'm going to say to you. The fight is still the fight is yet to come.
Right. Thank you. For all your support. If I got back into politics, my platform would be enough. Get. You can take the high road, you can take the low road, but you can't stay here. But so that's why I don't do politics anymore. Anyway, no. So we are out of time, and you've been listening to Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack, and I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. Until next time, I'll see you at the rendezvous.
Thank you very much for listening today. I hope that you learned something new today. Look after yourselves and take care. We'll be chatting again soon.
Give up, my friend. If you don't see the end, if you don't see the top, don't stop. We know you'll win. Every fight you fight, every game you play, you will reach the top.